back to the Atlantic Hour. I am your host, James. With me are my co-host.
And I'm Eva.
I'm Tom.
Nice. All right, today we are going to be talking about a man near and dear to America's heart.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to put it.
Yeah.
The 47th president of the United States.
Or vice president.
Thank you for that. Yeah. J.D. Vance. So
he probably isn't the 47th because people run twice. He's probably a lot less vice presidents,
yeah,
actually.
Oh, God, James didn't fact check.
I'm sorry.
It all goes downhill from here. We miss 1 week and he's getting
all right, let's,
confident.
I've already thrown the podcast off.
Do you wanna?
Honestly, it's revenge for that 100-year Russian history podcast we weren't prepped for.
The 50th vice president.
Oh.
Big number.
Yeah.
How could there be 50?
Maybe they switch. Maybe people have got rid of theirs. I don't know.
Interesting. We'll have to look up.
There you go. That's the mystery for the week.
The point is, he's one man away from the.
Yeah. One.
Job.
One bullet.
Wow. Well, if we're not counting Elon Musk.
One nasty
one
cold.
One brain one.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Can't see
yeah.
Him.
They're hanging out with them.
Our illustrious HHS secretary, RFK Jr.
Praise be.
Praise be. May the Lord open.
Yeah. All right. Should we do a bit of a recap on what JD's done with the vice presidency slot in the past month?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, I've been listening to a few other podcasts.
Traitor.
They're all drivel.
Shocker.
And they have suggested that for a vice president, he's been very active. So he's been speaking publicly a lot. He's put his face out there. He's been on Fox News talking about Trump's agenda, trying to get a media presence for the Trump administration, towing the party line. He's also been put in a very difficult position because a lot of the MAGA base who are in cabinet have very disparate interests. So he's kind of the mediator to try and unify all these kind of eccentric characters within Trump's cabinet and deliver the message in a way that makes sense to the American public. So, if that's a synopsis, how successful has he been so far?
Well, it depends which side you're looking at it from. Because
okay.
I know in terms of, you know, you can say he's been active, but he's been a bit too active. I mean, he's gone past America and he's gone into Europe. And he's talking about, a couple of weeks ago, about the whole German elections, just getting involved in European elections, which is, I mean, you can obviously express an interest if with a country you're allied with. Well,
yeah, look, but
for now,
yeah.
But well, especially when you're endorsing a far right candidate
in Germany as well.
Yeah,
it's a bit in poor taste.
It's so people, and same with Elon Musk getting involved in British politics, whatever. Why they're getting involved, I've got no idea.
Well, maybe they want right-wing parties in power, don't they?
I want to throw in a little devil's advocate for you. If you didn't know anything about American politics right now, and you looked at the way the media is presenting Trump's second administration, out of Vance and Musk, who would you think is the vice president?
Musk.
Mm-hmm.
Musk's always the one, like, even like yesterday they did that show, apparently it's because Tesla's stock is plummeting, they did this show event where Donald Trump picked his next Tesla.
Of course.
And
of
then
course.
Elon Musk promised to double Tesla production or something.
Yeah.
Everything seems to be sort of a weird, he's always behind him as well.
Like
it's always quite creepy.
Twin.
Yeah. It's like sort of a Disney character villain. Like the parrot from The Lion King.
Yeah. That's
cool. I think if Musk was a US citizen, he'd definitely try and run in 2028.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
We're probably gonna get citizenship at some point.
But he's a citizen, but he can't run. He has to be born in the US.
Yeah.
I mean, only one third of this podcast can run for president.
Yeah. Are you going to run for president? Have you ever thought about it? Be honest.
I think I'll leave that one.
So he's thought about running for president. Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Moving along, which party would you run for?
Well, it's the land of the free. Of course, it's going to be a Democrat.
Boring. Okay, fine. Okay, moving on from hypothetical president.
So I think a good touch point off of that is that Vance is in a very difficult position. He has to effectively keep Trump happy, and seemingly the only person who hasn't felt Trump's ire at all so far has been Elon Musk. So he kind of has to position himself in a way that doesn't step on Elon's toes whilst also setting himself up to be the presidential candidate in 4 years' time, which is why I think he started doing these public-facing speeches to try and make a name for himself. He realizes that within the domestic policy, there's a bit too many chefs in the kitchen, so he's found a new kitchen.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree that, like, Elon and Vance's roles seem to be very different.
Mm.
Like, Elon Musk can't be sent to speak in international conferences because everyone hates him.
Mm.
People don't like J.D. Vance either.
He doesn't really have a role, like a formal role.
Exactly, but like, I feel like J.D. Vance is there for, you know, meeting of diplomats, doing lots of... Because you can't have Elon Musk there because he's tweeted about all of them.
The question with that is, you've got a Secretary of State. Where is Marco Rubio?
Well, he was... If you saw the Zelensky Trump Vance thing. He was just there, just looking absolutely horrified.
Yeah, he literally looks like he wants the chair to swallow him up.
Well, he was the one who was kind of speaking out about like the threat of Putin.
Yeah, he's always been there.
He's always been there.
He's always been Russia.
You know that
China.
Scene in Get Out where he's like sitting in the chair, like
waiting
for it to swallow.
Yeah, that Stepford Wives. Yeah, but I think. I don't know. I think that just goes to show that like no one in the Trump administration knows what's going on, or can really speak their true mind.
What other country does like just a member of the cabinet come in a t-shirt and start just fielding questions during a cabinet meeting?
I don't know. It's ridiculous.
The big point is that the vice president role is without any real outline.
No, it's never had a definition.
Vance makes it.
Mm-hmm.
So he can dip into whichever areas he wants, have these debates, and still kind of do as he pleases.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, historically, like, vice presidents have either been sidelined very quickly and are just there purely for votes, or have sort of had greater roles, or maybe taking on the position of, like, chief of staffs and other, like, things. So, like, it's really, you really have to make the position your own. And that sort of determines whether you can make it as president. Obviously, Kamala Harris had it and didn't quite obviously do enough to impress the American people that she was good enough to lead. I think J.D. Vance is doing that right now. He's sort of taking up, I'd say now he's taking up a more international position. He's not that much focusing on the domestic, but that's how you get headlines then eventually, I think.
I think that's a good segue into our first clip, which is the meeting of people at the Munich Security Conference.
To talk about today is, of course, our shared values. And, you know, it's great to be back in Germany. As you heard earlier, I was here last year as United States Senator. I saw Foreign Secretary David Lammy and joked that both of us last year had different jobs than we have now. But now it's time for all of our countries, for all of those who have been fortunate enough to be given political power by our respective peoples to use it wisely to improve their lives. And I want to say that, you know, I was fortunate in my time here to spend some time outside the walls of this conference over the last bit of applause that I get. But we gather at this conference, of course, to discuss security. And normally we mean threats to our external security. I see many great military leaders gathered here today. But while the Trump administration is very concerned with European security and believes that we can come to a reasonable settlement between Russia and Ukraine, and we also believe that it's important in the coming years for Europe to step up in a big way to provide for its own defense, the threat that I worry the most about vis-a-vis Europe is not Russia, it's not China, it's not any other external actor. And what I worry about is the threat from within.
We've got a spy. There's a mole.
I'm not sure why he's worrying about the threat from within.
Because he's very concerned. He's very concerned. And President Trump are very concerned.
There's another guy for it. Thank God. Happening.
Remember the 5th of November. Yeah.
Let's not forget, Trump had an unprecedented second state invite from King Charles III himself.
Exactly.
Yeah, great man. Great man, apparently. Great
my personal man. Hero.
Yeah, for real.
I'm sure Vance would love to tag along.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be there.
Yeah,
I kind of hope. I really hope he doesn't bring Elon Musk. Oh, I can't have. Elon Musk wears a T-shirt next to the king.
Poor form.
So, where to begin? I think that Vance is trying to instigate a far-right sentiment in Europe so that the Trump administration can make it more malleable to the aims of the administration in the long term. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they realize that there's going to be elections coming up in the next 4 years, which can shape the new world order.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Well, Germany's happened now. You've got France and Germany who are both probably going to go more right wing in their next elections.
Italy as well.
Italy,
Austria.
Even Reform UK.
Yeah. They seem to be going through some tough times at the moment.
Yeah.
Stay strong, Nigel. Yeah. Stay strong.
I think Starmer has been doing a pretty good job.
It's incredible how his public opinion has changed over like a week.
It's because the British people just so annoying and just, I can't find the right word. But I think it's good that he's trying to get everyone, along with Macron, get everyone in Europe to kind of be united. Anyone?
Yeah, but then the EU have put tariffs on America today and we've gone, oh, that's very silly of them. So, like...
We're not in the EU, that's not yeah,
so it's like, yeah, we're solving this weird...
No foreign leader has the balls to just, like, out and out say that what Trump did was wrong.
Yeah.
Well, it's because the whole of our modern-day economy, society, Europe has been built off an alliance with America.
Mm.
And within, a month, that's been put at risk. So they weren't prepared they weren't prepared to have their, like losing your best friend. It's like they weren't prepared for this. And they have to, think about what to do. Because they're so reliant on America's money.
Their best friend, Biden.
Oh. But also Canada is very reliant into the jungle on America.
To live like Tarzan.
He's just gone to LA and he signed with a talent agency.
Yeah.
Him and Kamala are going to be hosting Pointless next week.
Aww. Oh, really?
No.
Why would he's they been be... in America too long. He doesn't understand sarcasm anymore.
Do they even have Pointless in America?
Oh, it's probably...
They have everything in America.
I was watching Jeopardy the other day. It was so good.
And the home of the brave.
But yeah, but the problem is that Canada's one of the only countries that the US is also massively reliant on, especially its electricity for its major cities, which is what is being tariffed right now.
It's its own country for now.
Yeah, but it's quite interesting though. I was reading that some Canadians are quite confused because basically Trump, the Premier of Ontario, said we're putting 25% of tariffs on electricity we're exporting, plus. You know, and we'll cut it off if the tariffs continue.
Mm.
And Trump's response to that was to put tariffs on aluminium and steel, which is made in Quebec. So I think Canadians are a bit confused. That's of like,
stupid.
At least the American automotive industry is safe.
For now.
Yeah.
The El Dorado car, which is shipped back and forth from Mexico to Canada three times before it can be built.
Yeah.
Same Should with fentanyl, though. So.
Keep talking about Vance.
Let's keep on Vance.
So
in that speech, he'll say at some point that Germany needs to not be afraid of not be ashamed of their history anymore.
Mm.
Which is rich for America to say.
Any European country, really.
But Germany especially, because...
It's the most recent.
It's the most recent, so also the most horrific.
My take is that Vance is using the vice presidency slot to push his personal views on US foreign policy. I'm not even sure if Trump believes everything that Vance is saying.
Do you think Trump even knows? Like, do you think Trump watches the Munich Security Conference?
No.
Or do you think... Because, like, this got a very positive response in America. Do you think that he saw on Fox News everyone was praising J.D. Vance and went, yeah. Because that's what I've...
As long as they're not praising J.D. Vance too much.
Yeah, that's a very good point. But that's why J.D. Vance isn't always... I think that's why Elon's there. I think those two are sort of played off each other very Machiavellian.
Yeah.
I think... It's a difficult line to balance, really, going, you know, guys, Nazis, they were in the past, guys.
Yeah, that's why we can forget about them.
Yeah.
We've got
cool things now.
Yeah, for real.
Do the American public buy what JD is selling?
Some of them definitely do.
Yeah, I think, I don't think as many as Trump, but I think that's what he's there for, I think, because he's sort of seen as like a conservative intellectual. I think that's his sort of role, is to translate what... So the stuff that Trump says that people don't really understand because of the way he speaks. Yeah. Or like, and sort of put it in a term for intellectual, so that people go, oh, no, I understand it, actually. And he's actually quite a complex conservative thinker. And I think really a lot of the sort of theories and, you know, political thoughts are actually translated through J.D. Vance.
Mm. Which, I want to pick up on what you said. One big criticism of the Democrats in the 2024 election was that they had become the party of over-intellectualization and that they were only focusing on the most informed voters and forgetting the majority of the American public who saw news through TikTok after scrolling for 2 seconds or went on X and saw some senator had said something about someone. So how is it that Vance, who is... clearly a highbrow intellectual, is able to appeal to Trump's MAGA base, who have traditionally supported a breakaway from that kind of
I think first
Ivy League kind of...
But it's this whole thing, it's hillbilly elegy, is like he's from the Midwest, I think. Like, and he's a family man, he's got like, he walks around, I've seen loads of things on X of like him going to events and like going to like church with his wife and kids and stuff. Like, I think even though he's like a people's intellectual, like he's, you know, that's his whole brand.
Was what Harris was.
No, he's
Brad Summer.
She didn't.
No.
Well,
Kamala HQ.
That was very British-based, and unfortunately, the British didn't have any say in the election. She tried to appeal to say that she was middle class, didn't quite balance off.
I think the key demographic was young men. It's hard for a black woman to appeal to a young man.
Why?
Ask American voters.
Fine, okay. You're a young man.
Yeah. She got my vote.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
She didn't get mine.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't get one, just to be clear.
He's not an absentee vote.
But I think it's like... Because also, a lot of people knew... J.D. Vance was a celebrity before he was a politician.
And also Trump.
He's an author. The movie came out. Right. Like, his story is quite well known. Well, not that it's like Hillbilly Elegy is his story, but it's... I don't know the correct word.
I feel like he's turned his back on that story.
Yeah, but it doesn't. Yeah, but he can still.
Like
he can still.
He's telling Germany to turn its back on.
But he
history.
Can still draw on it and go, look, you know me. I'm the guy from the Midwest who grew up.
You know
up
me.
In.
I'm the guy who sold all his values to.
Yeah, that's
ride
the other
on
thing.
Trump's coattails all the way to the presidency.
Yeah, but people make mistakes, James. You've just got to learn to forgive people sometimes.
Yeah, for real.
Just because you called him America's Hitler doesn't mean he's, you know, doesn't mean they're not best friends.
Oh.
But obviously the Trump, someone in the Trump campaign, I doubt it was Trump, saw that this was the person they needed to translate Trump's message. And I don't know if he's the best person for it, but he's clearly he did a good enough job to win them an election.
Mm.
And I'm not sure, because ultimately, Trump really can just dump him at any point and go, look, this guy was always bad-mouthing me.
Yeah.
I never liked him. And now he's gone. Or, like, now he's going to be you know, in charge of something less important, or just sideline him, or just start talking bad about him. And ultimately, if he wants to be president, he needs that. He needs Trump's endorsement.
I think as a intellectual, he's playing a good game.
Yeah.
Which is to use all the angles, kind of incite sensationalism enough to be picked up by media headlines, and operate in spheres which Musk and Trump aren't operating in,
yeah,
in order
exactly.
to make a name for himself outside of them.
Yeah.
My big question is still whether that translates into popularity among American voters.
Well, that's correct. So he goes to the Munich Security Conference. Musk went to an AfD rally. Who made more of an impact?
Even. Musk.
What do you say? Well, I think I think. Well, you have Vance comparing, well, telling Germany not to just like forget its past. So like.
Yeah, but Elon's message was pretty similar in his speech at the AfD rally.
That's
so
what
like.
I'm trying to say.
But who do you think is making a greater impact?
I think they're both controversial.
Because, but like.
I mean Musk at the end of the day.
Yeah, but if you were going to be like, ultimately J.D. Vance is speaking to sort of a room of 50 maybe of the most important people in
mm-hmm.
the world.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it depends.
Elon Musk is talking to 20,000, you know,
kind of nobody.
Just normal people.
That is a good point.
But also they're German normal people.
One of them wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it would be much easier to cut off Elon Musk. I still think that Musk doesn't last the full 4 years.
No, I agree.
No, yeah, I agree.
Whereas Vance will be around for the long haul.
Because like
maybe
and,
he
yeah.
realizes that and realizes it's not best to pick a fight with Musk,
yeah.
who owns one of the platforms where he's trying to have a presence.
Yeah, he has a massive presence on there as well.
It's that balancing act of being a diplomat and controlling both sides while also pushing himself forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we listen to what
no,
Vance
please.
Had to say at the meeting between him and
Zelensky and Trump?
Trump and Zelensky.
Diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to.
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring people, you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people into your military? And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
Okay, that is just disrespectful, and that's not how you handle that. This is the definition of power politics and trying to go into a room where you haven't prepared, where you haven't had a proper discussion between three of the most important people in the room.
Let's call it what it is. It's straight up bullying.
Yeah, well, so this is this shows that neither Trump nor Vance are serious about true diplomatic efforts with Ukraine.
Mm.
If they were, they would have had a proper discussion before they entered the room full of journalists who are obviously going to ask biased questions. And they wouldn't, and Vance wouldn't have burst in and asked Zelensky to thank Trump for the US war effort when at the beginning of the conversation, Zelensky did actually thank them.
Do you think Trump knew he was going to do it?
Who knows?
Who knows? I mean,
because Trump, obviously, that's just a little bit like before that. Trump was quite aggressive before then, so like, it wasn't completely out of tone for the conversation for Vance to go on the attack, but to that extent, I mean, Trump doesn't look surprised.
Trump looks like he's just.
Trump is quite hard to read sometimes. I've been
there for vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a businessman. Remember that. He's very good at making deals.
I actually watched The Apprentice.
Which one? The US one?
Movie.
Is there a.
Oh, the one. The Donald Trump movie that got nominated for Oscars.
Oh, really? How was it?
It was interesting to see his psyche.
It's where he came from, grassroots. Mm. But yeah, I mean, it does just show that, you know, Zelensky was clearly there because he wanted to obviously help his country out, appeal to one of the biggest donors to Ukrainian aid, and
had that conference where they hadn't invited Ukraine. So he's probably quite stressed
important.
And
probably
wants to find out what they've talked about.
And it sort of just shows that, you know, Macron and Starmer's trips the weeks before, they weren't wasted efforts to try and appeal to the US, but they just,
I think the British one was almost a success, really. He actually liked Keir Starmer, and the whole worry was...
I mean, he got an invite.
Yeah. Let's do another hypothetical. If you were both JD Vance, what would your game plan be for the next 3.5 years?
In terms of domestic or foreign relations?
Both.
One wants to be his this and then steals my ideas.
Exactly.
You've got to ensure you're always by Trump, especially at the big moments. The problem you've got to face is that the media will take more pictures of Elon Musk, and Donald Trump loves the media.
Mm.
So you've got to try and keep doing what he's doing, to be honest. In the most famous image of the presidency, he's there, not Elon Musk. So far, obviously. I think just because ultimately he'll never be able to become president without a Donald Trump endorsement. That is, realistically, Donald Trump, this is his last term anyway, unless he changes the rules.
Yeah.
So you've actually got 2 years until you need to be the front runner for the nominee. You've just got to stay close to him. You've got to ensure that you maintain. I think he needs to maintain his foreign policy relation. He's not burning many bridges, if that makes sense.
With
politicians.
With countries maybe. He hasn't made a lot of Europe happy.
No, but what's he really like? You know, in Britain, sort of, he made that comment about Britain being some random country, but then said he wasn't talking about Britain or France. And then,
I think Germany's a big one, but obviously, if the AfD does gain power, then he's all good.
Yeah, exactly. He's sort of cultivating relations. He's going to have a good sort of. He already was recognised internationally. Now, sort of, you know, he's spoken about. David Lammy, he's building up a sort of a cachet of people, and he's obviously resonating with the American people. I think at the moment he doesn't really need to change much because it's clearly working for him. He's in the meetings he wants to be in.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to be there for, you know, pick his Tesla like it's a starter Pokemon. He could do a lot of the serious politics here because everyone knows Donald Trump gets bored.
Mm.
But towards the end, he could, especially if Donald Trump knows that he's not getting a second term or third term even, he could really take over in the sort of the day to day.
I think that is salient. At the end of the day, after everything Vance has done, Trump could click his fingers at the start of 2028 and make Vance's life hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Remove him from the running for the presidency. So I think Vance realizes that he has to cultivate his own power and get some of his own players on the board.
Yeah. But the Trump word is so important in America now.
Mm.
The seal of approval.
Will it be in 3 years' time?
Maybe not, to be fair. This whole tariff situation seems to be going a bit pear-shaped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks like something's going to happen with Russia, Ukraine.
Trump's approval rating is the lowest of any president for the first month in office.
Really? That's surprising.
But he's also done way more than any other president has ever done in the first month in office.
Exactly.
Mm. He's single-handedly steered America towards a recession.
Yeah.
But he's banned paper straws.
Yes.
That's why he's my president.
Ivanka's got a great clothes brand, so...
And she's having a new Amazon documentary.
Is she?
Ivanka, if you are listening, we'd love to have you on the podcast.
I want some merch.
You do sponsorship at the start of the podcast. Sponsored by Ivanka's clothesline.
Yeah.
I loved her hat, actually.
Her hat at the inauguration.
Yeah. Can we all get one of them, please?
Yeah, it was very... Sort of like she didn't want to make eye contact with anyone.
Yeah.
I don't blame her.
Yeah, well, her book says... reveals a lot.
You read...
No.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to call it.
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
Thank you very much, guys. We will be back next week with some more politics.
I don't think we will.
No,
but...
we won't, because we won't be in the country, but...
Well...
James will do a solo.
James will do a live stream.
Yeah.
All right.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.